Chapter 11. Troubles Thicken. Marie's first waking thought the next morning was of Louis. His evident unfitness for their mode of traveling and his increasing delicacy were now her greatest care, and though she and Henry never spoke about it, each knew and shared the other's fears. He had grown much thinner since they left St. Louis de Lenard, and his great blue eyes shone with an unnatural light in his pale face. He scarcely ever complained, but his merry laughing ways were all gone, and instead he was learning an intelligence and a comprehension of their position which was almost painful to the two elder ones. Guillaume, once inseparable from his little brother, had scarcely seemed to notice it, and he was now so frequently in front with Leonore that the task of carrying Louis, when he grew tired, devolved much more frequently upon Henry. Louis did not seem to notice the defection of his favorite brother, except that now and then Marie saw a wistful look when Guillaume disappeared, and he once or twice asked his brother to stay and tell him his story instead, nor did he ever ask in vain. Besides, sometimes the two would take Louis with them, and the delight of riding on Guillaume's back, while Leonore walked laughing and singing beside them, almost made up for Guillaume's forgetfulness at other times. On the morning after that night when Leonore sang the legend of the fair wife of fierce folk Ironheart, Henry awoke as usual, and before the others, and crept to Marie's side to look at his little brother. He still slept, but his breathing was not so regular as it should have been. His dry lips were slightly parted, and there was a flush upon his cheek that even Henry knew was not the bloom of health. The two girls lay in the same place side by side, a curious contrast, thought Henry, even now when both were still. Marie's complexion was as fair as Leonore's was dark, and the only likeness between the lovely rosebud face, half ridden by raven black tresses, and the deer-like grace, even in sleep, of her tawny-haired companion, was the strong air of refinement, which no peasant's costume could disguise. Henry crept back to Guillaume, and the two boys set off, as they always did when it was possible, to bathe before breakfast. Coming back, they found that the girls were awake and ready for a start. Louis looked brighter and ate a better breakfast than he had done for the last few days, but at starting, Henry offered to carry him at once if he would rather not walk that day. "Oh, no, thank you, Henry," answered Louis brightly. "I am quite rested now and can walk a long way." They kept together nearly all the morning, and in the afternoon began to get into the more cultivated country again. And they were anxious to get over rather a longer walk than usual today, as it was Saturday and they wished to reach a certain village in which they had been told of, the first after leaving the hills, before Sunday, as their supply of provisions was running short and they wanted to make Sunday as usual a day of actual rest. It was very hot, and Louis, who had kept up bravely most of the day, began to flag, and at length asked Guillaume in a whisper if he would carry him a little while. "Henry carried me all the afternoon yesterday," he explained, "and I heard Marie say he would be ill if he did not let you help him. I wish I did not want to be carried," he added piteously, "but I can't help it, really, Guillaume. My legs get so bad with all this walking that they go right down now and then." Guillaume went to lift his little brother with a pang of self-reproach. "Guillaume is always ready to carry you, petit frère," he said tenderly, "and put your head down on my shoulder, if you will, and go to sleep, or shall I tell you a story?"
"A story, please, Guillaume," said the little boy, nestling down contentedly. "Only don't you want to go on with Leonore? I shall be able to walk again presently."
Guillaume's eyes filled with tears at this unselfish speech. "You shall not walk again all afternoon," he said, "and I would rather carry you than do anything else."
"Guillaume, Guillaume," cried Leonore at the moment,
Come on with me, and let us get that old man to the right there to give us some grapes.
I cannot come, said Gloom, who had already begun his story. I am telling Lewis the legend of Lestroy Pomme d'Or.
He saw Leonora's face flush angrily as she turned back again to join the others, who had not heard her request. The young countess was not used to be refused by anyone whom she delighted to honor. She walked sullenly beside Henry and Marie for a few moments, but they were deep in conversation with each other, and her eyes wandered again to the stalwart, handsome lad in front, with the golden head resting so lovingly upon his shoulder. With a sudden change of mood, she turned aside, sprung unaided over a low stone wall, and darted away toward the little vineyard.
Gloom, who had not noticed her movements, was surprised a few moments after by Leonora's voice, saying, almost shyly, "Look, Louis, such grapes I have got for you." And she held up a large purple cluster of much finer grapes than the usual kinds which they had eaten.
"Oh, Leonora, thank you," said the child, holding out his hands. "I am so thirsty. Have you got some for yourself and for Marie?"
"Yes, and for Henry, too. These are for you and Gloom," answered Leonora, dropping the bunch into his hands and running back to the others.
Henry and Marie looked at each other with a smile as they noticed this little scene, and by Henry offered to take Louis from his brother. Gloom, however, refused to give up the child, and they went on together through the summer evening, growing rather silent as they all became more or less fatigued. It grew dark as they entered the little village of Sassones, where they intended to pass the next day, but it was not so much because of the lateness of the hour as the effect of a coming storm which darkened all the western sky. They had seen it coming for some time and were congratulating themselves on having reached shelter before it broke. There was but one small inn in the village, and only two tiny bedrooms at the disposal of the children, who were, however, becoming so accustomed to sleep anywhere that any bed seemed a luxury. It was scarcely 8 o'clock when they had finished their supper, and all the village population were still sitting at the doors and chatting in little groups. It was very sultry, and every now and then there was a low peal of distant thunder. Marie went up to put Louis to bed. Gloom and Leonore sat together on a wooden bench in the little garden of the Auberg, and Henry, who was not so tired as the rest, strolled down the village in order to gain information about their route, which he was always obliged to do carefully for fear of exciting suspicion. Marie missed him when she came down and asked Gloom where he was.
"Gone down the street," he said. "He should be back directly," answered Gloom, with difficulty suppressing a yawn as he rose.
"I think I will go to bed now, Marie. I am so sleepy."
He disappeared accordingly, and Marie sat down on the bench to wait for Henry.
Leonore did not seem inclined for a conversation, and wandered restlessly up and down. A suspicion crossed Marie's mind that Mademoiselle la Comtesse was slightly hurt at Gloom's departure without any apology, especially as it was the first night since she had joined them that he had not brushed her hair. However, she soon forgot even Leonore's presence when Henry came back and leant against the trellis work to answer her inquiries, but with an air of abstraction which struck her immediately.
"Marie," he said at length, rousing himself out of a long reverie, "do you know where we are now?"
"About 10 miles from Mont Tobin, you have just told me," answered Marie, wondering.
"Yes. But do you know we are only 11 miles southwest of St. Croix?"
Marie started violently.
"St. Croix," she exclaimed. "I did not know we should pass through anywhere near that part of the country, and surely we must be much nearer the seacoast than that."
"Why, only think, Henry, we were but 4 days driving from St. Croix to St. Louis de Lenard, and we have now been 3 weeks walking from thence."
"Yes, but you must remember that we drove the greater part of the nights, too, and went at a great pace. Then coming back, we went at least 2 days' journey further south than we need have done, as we found afterwards, before we left the Cavines. And now, you see,
We are nearly a whole day's journey beyond St. Croix on our way to Bordeaux.
I never guessed it, did you, Henry? Asked Marie, her eyes filling with tears.
No, was the husky answer.
Oh, Henry, exclaimed Marie eagerly, could we not go to see it tomorrow, just for the last time?
No, we must not, said Henry, with an energetic gesture, as if he had been already fighting the question with himself.
See, Marie, it would not be right for many reasons. Louis must have no more walking than we can help. It would not be right to leave him here alone all Sunday. Besides, we could hardly walk there and get back in a day, and every day is precious to us now. And even if we could go, it would not be safe. We should be certainly recognized, and we do not know who may be there now, or what might be the end of it.
Yes, I suppose you are right, Henry, admitted Marie, reluctantly. But oh, Henry, she added with a sudden burst of tears, if we could only see Father Gabriel, and not feel so without everything. It is so dreadful to think of that time at home, and I feel as if we had grown so many years older.
We were children then, Marie, my darling, answered Henry, trying to soothe and comfort his sister, though his own voice grew unsteady.
Don't you remember, chère petite sœur, we were weary of our long childhood then, and were ready for our trial? Don't let us be too weak to bear it now it has come.
You were always good, sobbed Marie, leaning against him and speaking for a moment like the petted, helpless child she had been before their troubles came.
Oh, Henry, what should I do without you?
They had forgotten all about Leonore for the time, and did not notice in the dusk that she was standing near enough to hear all they said, nor that she now ran off with a strange gesture and slipped into the house. Coming up a little later, at Henry's entreaty, Marie found Leonore already in bed, and with her long hair streaming over the pillow, and her eyes closed as if in sleep. Marie was too much occupied with her own sad thoughts to wonder at this, and got into bed without even coming near Leonore, but she fell asleep first.